Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Indeed, here I am, and here being Pittsburgh, PA. Tonight, the Cards take on the Panthers, and we're here for it, and we'll have the call, Paul Rogers and I, obviously a little bit later in the day. The team is over at practice or shoot around or whatever the hell you want to call it. And we are here at the fabulous Fairmont Hotel. Pittsburgh, a grossly underrated city, by the way. Really, really gets the back of the hand from a lot of people for no reason. It's beautiful. It's really, honestly, when's the last time you heard that? Pittsburgh, beautiful in the same sense, but it really is. Downtown has a fabulous view overlooking the river. There's the Three Rivers Stadium. It was named because the Three Rivers converge here. And so you got a lot of water. When you come out of the tunnel from the airport, if you've never taken that route before, it's really jarring. It's how pretty it is. All of a sudden, you get out of the tunnel and you got this beautiful view of downtown and very nice. And we're up high here. We're on the 23rd floor, so you really are getting some good views downtown. And I had breakfast in a place that should be featured in Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Discos, whatever the hell it is. But it was a breakfast place called Cherries. So good. Really good. And unbelievable prices. I thought I'd gotten a time machine. Thought I'd gone back about 30 years. Really, really outstanding. And a great breakfast. In fact, I had to order a little something extra because, as typical, I'm traveling without cash. And unless you charge $10, your bill's $10, you can't charge it. And so I was like at, you know, 9:20 or something. So I had to get a separate order of home fries just to knock it up a little bit. Outstanding. Very, very good.
All right, I just joined the show.
You can sit down, too.
I just joined the show. What are we talking about here? I'm assuming pierogies.
Not surprisingly, food, but not pierogies. I went to, you know, whenever I'm in a different city, I like to go to a place that's not a chain. No disrespect to the good people who are working hard to make their living at the chains, but I mean, I can go to, as much as I love Dunkin', I can go to Dunkin' or some of the other Subway or whatever, right, you know, right around the corner from my house. I don't need to go be here, but there's a, so you go on, Google, and you do a breakfast near me, and they give you a bunch of places nearby, many of which are chains, but some are not. And there's one so walking distance from the hotel, it was literally maybe a 2-minute walk. It's called Cherries, like the fruit, Cherries. I don't know why it's called that, but it is. Maybe the woman's name who started it was named Cherry. I don't know. But it's a, you can sit down. It's a sit-down place. So you don't have to get, of course, a lot of people grab stuff to go there, too. But I went and I like to have a place where you can sit down and have breakfast. They wait, you know, you don't just get it at the counter and then take it to a seat. They wait on you at the table. And the food was outstanding. And the prices were, I started to tell the story that it's a minimum $10 charge on your card. And I don't carry very much cash when you travel. In fact, I don't have any cash with me now, so if I get robbed, I'm in a bad spot. the guy's going to take it out on me, going to get a whooping or something. But anyway, so I went to the counter and looked at the bill, and it was a nice breakfast. It was a ham and cheese omelet and a rye toast and big, the cups of coffee are guy cups. I'm digging that. Not these stupid little demitasse things. And the bill was like, I don't know, $8 or something, which is really, it's very good value, to put it mildly. But I didn't have 10, so I had to get a side order or something. So I got a side order of home fries and got me over $10. But I mean, that's unbelievable for a sit down breakfast for like $10.
Yeah, that's
and
not
the,
bad.
The portions
at all.
Were big and it was delicious.
Wait,
very
what's
very good.
The name of this place?
Cherries, like the fruit. Cherries.
Cherries. Okay, Cherries.
Yeah, and it literally, it's one of those places when you do one of the Google searches, it's the dream answer when you hit the button, you know, for directions. It doesn't list it in minutes or miles. It lists it in feet from your hotel.
That's 414
feet.
Did it tell you, like, hotel. Driving distance? Like, you know.
No, probably would have taken longer to drive than walk because you got one-way streets you got to do. Well, I just walked across the street. And also, it's right near, anybody who's been to Pittsburgh, Market Square, which is kind of like what the old, you see them all in Indiana a lot. They would have, you know, there was a throwback. That's what most towns did. They had a center of town, which was the square. And, you know, a lot of them are in bad shape in the smaller towns. They just can't compete with Amazon and Walmart and everything else. But the one down here is very cool. They have some chain stuff here, some chain restaurants and places to eat, and some really good stores to shop. Wish I had more time. There's a men's clothing store that's even less than 414 feet because it was half the distance from here than it was to the restaurant, so it's about 200 feet away, and really, really good. I would like to go in there looking through the window. They also have a thing called I can't remember what it's called now, but I looked in the window. As best I could tell, it's like a newfangled arcade. They had, a lot of these video games, but it was not a nostalgia one. They were really ones I'd not even seen. A lot of driving games. I didn't have time to go in, but I would like to have done that. They also have a golf simulator place, indoor golf, right across the street from that. I could live on that block. So
golf simulator. Let's go.
Yeah, very cool.
By the way, driving the video of Paul? Paul tweeted a video of, like, you know, going through the tunnel and then. Pittsburgh, underrated skyline. We've talked about this. This was a discussion in the group chat. But he's, like, filming, and he's, I'm assuming, in the passenger seat, or just our boy Paul is a great photographer and or an incredibly reckless driver. But it looks like someone is driving the car, and he's filming the skyline. Like,
well, if it's from the driver's seat or the front part, it's not him. We drove in the same car, which I frankly makes sense now. They rather than getting two buses and then having literally 11 people on the second bus, they rent two cars, but they get really big cars. So we had, I don't know, it's a big ass car though. That's all I'll tell you. I don't know what it was, but it seats probably nine, really. It's got, you know, the driver, passenger up front, and then bench seating for three behind that, which would make five. And then another bench at the back, so it's eight, I guess, would be eight passengers. And he was all the way in the back. I was in the middle row, and so he wasn't – none of us were in the front row. So I don't know
who could have been taken. No. If you look at the video on his Twitter, he's definitely in the front seat.
Well, then it's not his video. Somebody sent it to him.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because he was definitely in the back. Trust me, I was in the car. Kenny Klein, the hero, got out, didn't realize I knocked my glasses out of my breast pocket. He saw it, so he picked it up, gave it to me, and then I proceeded to hit him with the door in the back.
How do you do that to the best in the biz?
Not only that, I mean, you know, he got bonked around a little bit when he went to New York in the ice. He slipped and fell, and he got a pretty good gash on his head. So I said, is that a new thing now, Kenny? You go on the road, somebody's got a bash in the head? So it was not the door of the car. It was the automatic thing, you know, it's the hatchback thing that goes up. And I had my bags in the back, so I'd taken them out. And then he said, did anybody lose glasses? And I said, oh, those are mine. So I said, thank you so much, Kenny. He gave them to me. I hit the button to make the door go back down. It didn't. Went back down and hit him right in the head. So apologies to Kenny. Yeah. Kenny taking one for the team.
By the way,
how about this for a stat, by the way? This is amazing. And he's so modest. He doesn't ever want to be a guest on a radio show or anything. He has not missed. Chew on this for a minute. He has not missed a Louisville basketball game in 40 years. 40. 4-0.
Damn.
There are coaches that don't miss. They don't go that long without missing some games. I mean, Rick was sick, and I think he had a medical procedure, and Denny was sick a number of times, and everybody. He's been every freaking game for 40 years. He hasn't missed one. That's astounding. I mean, they need to put a statue outside the arena. So, anyway, there's that. So, we're here for that game, and you'll hear that call on 93.9 The Ville and 970. A little later on, Paul and I will have the call of that one, of this Pitt team that is playing at a much higher level than people thought they were going to. That's what I'm looking for right here. All right, this thing is determined to try and knock me off the air, Nick, so be forewarned. It just, it's, it will not stay in place. Am I still on, or did I lose you?
No, you're here. You're here.
Okay.
I got distracted for a quick second. Sorry. Like, don't get mad at me, because he comes bearing gifts.
Cooper Hassan
came in studio. And
did he bring me anything?
Yeah, actually, he did. He brought us very nice of him. Thanks, Coop, for these. He was at the Mike Pratt commemorative, you know, the retirement jersey this weekend. Wow, I could not say that sentence. But they handed out commemorative tickets for it, and you and weren't able to go. So he grabbed a couple extra. So he got one for me and one for you, and they're very, very nice
indeed. I have. Did he get one of the pins with Mike's name and number on number 22 on it?
I don't know. Did you get a pin? They're handing out pins. No, he said he didn't get a pin, but he got the commemorative tickets. They're gorgeous. They're very nice. So I'll put one in your office and put one in my cubicle.
Yes, I'll put it on the wall.
Shout out Cooper Hassan.
I feel bad. I mean, we didn't even talk about that on yesterday's show, and obviously, that was a big deal to a lot of us. Loved Mike. I don't know if it was Jamie. Could have been our new vice president, but whoever it was, it could have been Jenny. I don't know who's doing it. Somebody updated our website.
Entz went down there and
might have been it.
And we got some video and photos from, you know what, tip of the cap. KSR shared them with us. So
it might have been Entz then. Somebody put a tweet.
Entz was down there, yeah. And he
How do you know what I'm going to say? How do you know what I'm going to say that it's Entz?
Because he was the KFOV member that was down there.
Well, Jamie was there too.
No,
and
he wasn't.
It's not the pictures. It's the commentary. Somebody said in the and maybe it was Entz. And if it is, Jason, tip of the hat to you. I'm not trying to steal your thunder. It's not nobody's thunder but Mike's. But I'm just saying, you didn't even let me finish the point. He made a great point. Whoever wrote it. He or she said, probably it was Jason, sounds like his kind of work. It was, borrowing a phrase from Jim's iconic speech, Mike Pratt was, he was 10 times a better person than he was a player, and we all know what a great player he was. That's what Jim said about Krzyzewski. And I said, sums it up. That's exactly right. He was just, there's an old saying, and our ages are not that far apart. So, I mean, I don't want to over-exaggerate it, but boy, this thing is going to knock me off the air if it kills itself. It is. I've never seen inanimate objects with more determination. It is unbelievable. They are determined to slide off the table here and just knock me off the air, no matter what I do. I got things blocking it. I've got weight on it. Doesn't matter. The determination. They are playing hard. The cards need to play with this kind of determination tonight.
I was literally about to say that. The word of the day on middays was toughness tonight. For the cards, so I was wondering if
I should video my equipment here. That sounds like a euphemism for doing something.
I was going to say, I was like, damn,
you know, we'll get you canceled. But it is unbelievable. I mean, all I'm trying to do for the people scoring at home is lay this, and you got to really appreciate how small these things are. It lay the phone, just a simple phone, and a little machine called a little device. Called an iRig, which is about the size, the length of a credit card. That's how small it is. That's all you need to get on the air. Then I'm holding the microphone, so that's not going to fall on the floor. So all I want them to do is just sit on the desk. It's all I'm asking of them. All I ask of you, that song, what's that from? I mean, all I ask of you is to just sit there. And I don't know how, but every, 90 seconds, they want to go roam. They want to go see Pittsburgh. They're excited. I've told them what a great downtown it is. And they're like, damn it, we want to get out there and be part of the action. So they are determined to do it. It's just astounding to me. Don't tell me they don't have minds of their own and communicate with each other.
Oh, no.
I totally think
inanimate objects. And I don't know why. Like, I just get really angry, and I'll throw one in the street or something like that. So, like, I'll throw a shampoo bottle.
Well, it's a little warning. You're trying to warn the others.
Just be like, guys, not today. Like get it in line. By the way, there's a terrible echo, so turn down your headphones, please, because I hear myself.
Nick,
and somebody.
Right now, I got bigger problems than trying to turn down the echo because I have inanimate objects running around the hotel room.
Well,
so,
I'm an inanimate object, and I can hear myself, so please. Someone says it sounds like I'm from space, which is actually kind of cool. What's the song? Ground Control to Major Tom?
Ground Control to Major Tom.
Yes.
David Bowie.
That's the only David Bowie song I know off the top of my head.
All right. So anyway, I was trying to tell you about Mike.
Do you just want to take a break? Like, yeah, let's take a break.
Yeah, I really have to take a break because I got to. I'm going to have to call maintenance and have them come up here with a drill, nails, screws, hammers, a bracket. Probably be about a 2-day job. Probably be ready by maybe Thursday.
Get some contractors.
I've never seen. I would like to take a picture so you wouldn't know I'm or video so you would know that I'm not exaggerating because it makes no. The biggest problem in this, much to the listeners' delight, I'm sure. Since I know they're thrilled about this, is there's a glass top on the table. That's right. What it is. So nothing sticks. So it's just the Pittsburgh Penguins could have practice on this table right here. And so that is the issue. So
all right. So I'll
you know what, Nick? Do a read. All I need is 30 seconds to untwist this one cord, which I wasn't twisted at the start of the show, so I don't know how it did that. So I'm going to do that, and then we'll see if that makes a difference. So read something, read one of your fan letters, anything, and I'll be back in 20 seconds.
The reason that things cords tangle, is I actually read about this. It's like a 1 in a million chance that the cord will stay completely unkinked. It's like a mathematical improbability. That's why we always like reach into a backpack or something and we go, how come this cord is all tangled up? It's because statistically it's way, 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 way higher for it to get all tangled up as opposed to staying completely taut. Is that the word? Cooper, what do you say for a straight wire? What's the word for it? Yeah, I have no idea. Anyway, it's Raising Cane's Day because the big game deserves a big meal. Don't forget to order early. Raising Cane's will be closing 30 minutes after kickoff so their crew can enjoy the game. I like that. That's very cool. So order online at RaisingCane's.com or call your local Raising Cane's to place your order. Perfect for your big game watch party. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love. We got it today. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, so make sure you order early. And, I mean, the chicken tenders, great. Huge, huge crowd pleaser for any are you allowed to say the bowl day super? Are you allowed to legally say that? Anyway, the big game this Sunday.
Not allowed to say that.
What, the big game this Sunday? You can't say that?
No, you're not allowed to say the other thing because you have to pay. And they crack down on it. I mean,
oh, no, that's why I didn't say it. I said bowl day super. That's different. That's crappy Spanish. Like, that's legal, right? That'll play. Might not be on the fairway, but that's first cut. Like, you know, I think so. Regardless, I mean, get some Raising Cane's.
Listen, it's a good gamble to take. I mean, you know, everybody in the world will know what you're alluding to if you just say the big game Sunday. But you know, to roll the dice with your career, what the hell?
Yeah, you know, feeling froggy. Ribbit, ribbit. I'll jump. Let's go. Anyway, the chicken tenders, fantastic, and the Texas toast, absolutely, an amazing, an elite side. Throw some crinkle cut fries in that sauce. Oh, symphony of flavor in your mouth.
Delightful, just darling.
My buddy Fink says that what you call a straight cord is untangled. It's fair enough. I think I was overthinking that one.
Okay. I wasn't implying any kind of a sexual, you know, preference. I was just saying it goes in a straight line. So that's all. Yeah. Anyway.
You gonna play the new Harry Potter game?
What's that?
There's some huge controversy about that. Like, because
Harry Potter has a game out?
Yeah, there's like a new Harry Potter Hogwarts Legacy or whatever where you get to be a wizard and go to Hogwarts and get like sorted, and it's an adventure game, but everyone's all mad at J.K. Rowling and people want to boycott, and who the hell knows. I just want to fly around on a broomstick and be my little...
It's a video game, I assume?
Yeah, it's a video
game. Is it a video?
It's a video game. And then they put like a gay character in there, and so people on both sides are all pissed.
The hell?
So
the hell is that? I'm one of the only people in the world who've not seen any of the Harry Potter movies, so I feel I'm perfectly allowed to mock whatever I choose, because if I actually just say something that is so ridiculously, you know, not inappropriate but inaccurate, I could claim the truth, which is, well, how would I know? I've never seen a damn thing. So that's where
I thought
we are.
You were,
but I do understand.
Go all faux outrage there. If it's one thing I can't stand, it's a queer warlock. You know, they can be flying around and shooting spells and everything, but pick a damn gender. Like, I thought that's where you were going to go with that. So
I think if I were good at, you know, manipulating computer images and videos and stuff, many people who are sports fans have seen the video of the Cleveland Guardians manager Terry Francona picking up his scooter that was stolen, and he's down at the police.
I love that video.
I don't know where they. And he gets it, and he's picking his scooter up, and all the policemen are surrounding him, and he's facing the wrong way to get out, so he's got to get out, and, you know, you can't just start it. The radius of the turning would drive him right into the cops, so he's basically doing that thing where you kind of have to walk it with your legs, and then when he gets aimed the right way, he takes off. Somebody should make that him doing it on a broom. That would be terrific.
Oh, that'd be
just
awesome.
Just have him turn around. And then he just flies out of the garage.
That'd be great. Internet needs to get on that. I would definitely support that.
Now you got some fun going. Tonight, interesting, because we have talked so much about Louisville showing improvement, and they have. There's an article in the Courier about that, well, obviously the record is what it is. They are showing improvement. And I thought he was, you know, very candid, although, again, the people who think he's throwing his players under the bus probably won't like it, but I think it's what I've said all along. They just don't have not only not enough talent, they don't have the proper mix of talent, and so it's been a challenge. And so he was kind of asked about that. You know, you look so much better, and yet you still lost to a team that's kind of middle to the bottom middle of the league in Florida State at home. You know, what does that say? And he, you know, again, people don't like him, will probably jump on it, but I thought he was candid. He said, well, gives you an idea. He said, you know, they said, how bad were you when this whole process started? And he said, well, to be honest, we were really, really bad. I mean, not that that's any great secret, nor does it mean that he's not taking, you know, people, oh, you're really bad because you did a really bad job. Whatever. The simple fact of the matter is they were playing at a very low level, and they're playing at a better level now. But the one thing that I always find interesting, and I think Paul is going to ask him about this in the pregame, is, well, everybody's talking about, you know, you guys getting better. How about the other guys? Like this Pitt team, which handled them at home, meaning for Louisville at home, so easily the first time they met. Well, they've had a couple of months to, or at least a month to improve too. Are they better? I mean, they're still, you know, having a really, really solid season in the conference, but they're not ranked, which is kind of interesting to me. So, I mean, I'd like to know. He would never answer. I would have asked, I suggested this question to Paul, whether he uses it or not, I don't know. But I suggested that phrase the way I did, because if you ask any coach, well, you know, they've had a month now to be scouted by everybody, too. Have people found some weaknesses they can exploit? No coach in America is going to give you an honest answer on that. Because you could say, I think they're the greatest college team since, you know, Lou Alcindor, as he was known then, at UCLA, and Bob Knight's undefeated team. But then say, but I haven't noticed that when the ball's on the left side of the court, their shooting percentage is 5% worse. The headlines would all be at the websites. Louisville coach says Pittsburgh can only play on one side of the floor. So nobody answers that. So that's why I didn't suggest asking it that way, because you'll just waste recording space. You know, you'll waste megabytes and gigabytes and bytes, and the answer will bite. So you know, that's but the question is, are they better? And if they are, how? And we'll see if Louisville's improved play can make more of a game of it tonight, because they really wasn't any kind of a game the first time. So we'll see how that plays out going forward. Because make no mistake about it, by the way, I'm answering my own question. And I don't know, we may get to the Final Four, and when it's all said and done, it may be Kansas and Kentucky and North Carolina, and I don't know, pick another blue blood. But from what I'm seeing, the landscape is changing in every possible way. You know, not only from the transfer portal and NIL and how long the kids are at schools. You know, it used to be like when Tim Duncan, they made a big deal because he finished his career at Wake Forest, said he's never regretted it. He said he had a great experience. But they were all talking about, well, that was because he didn't go to the NBA. Now you'll make a big deal if a kid finishes where he started, not because of the NBA, but because they just, like, they, you know, the kids, think about when you were a kid. You know, you get to go through the recruiting process again. Everybody loves that. Everybody telling you how good you are and how important you are and we want you. Everybody loves that. And, you know, and maybe they can find, for whatever reason, and now you know a little bit more about yourself. You've played some college basketball at the highest level, or certainly at the Division I level for most of the transfer portal people. So you know what you can do. Schools know what you can do. You find a program that kind of is looking for that skill set that you have, and you got yourself, you know, an opportunity that it doesn't even mean where you were leaving is bad. That's the other thing. Guys used to transfer because they were miserable about something. They weren't getting any playing time. The coach didn't like them. They didn't like the coach. Now they could be perfectly basically happy, and they still leave. So it's a different landscape. And watching what Miami did to Duke last night, my gosh, that's bad news for Louisville, by the way. That's the worst scenario for a building program, is to go into a place where you're going to play the team next at their place, Right? Don't they go to Duke? I'm sorry, but I live my week one game at a time. I just know they what?
I believe so.
Yeah. So I mean, you got to go face a good team, all pissed off and embarrassed for a national TV game on the road, coming back home. Hello. I mean, it's like, let's see. And it's like, you know, playing cards, and we're going to spot them two aces. Here you go, boys. It's just like, yikes. So that is not going to be, that wasn't a good sign. You'd rather have had them just, you know, stomp them, to be honest with you. But Miami's good. There's no getting around it. Miami's got a good team, too. And so, I you know, you better have really paid attention to the teams that kind of always get an after look. And, you know, they're an afterthought going into this tournament, because, and I'll be honest with you, I really have not that much, because A, they tend not to be on TV all the time. B, generally I'm preparing for two or three games a week, which are, when now that they're not all Louisville games, I mean, Louisville's in one of the games, but that means I have some weeks, three and four more teams to prepare for. So, you know, I haven't had a chance to do that. And the third part of it is, to be quite honest, some of these teams that you're comparing, you know, you'd like to see them against each other. Because the ACC is really down this year. I mean, that's the reality. So a team looking good in this league, you know, may not be that look that strong in another league. Again, I'm only going by the games I've done. The Big 12 is scarily good. I mean, this is, I don't know how to compare it. It's kind of like that year that the Big East sent three teams to the Final Four. But even that, I'm not sure is a good analogy, because there were always teams back then in all the leagues, including the Big East, that were really not very good, to be honest with you. I mean, the top five teams, you could have taken any one of them and said they have a realistic chance to go to the Final Four, but they're always kind of weak sisters. In the Big 12, please define that for me. Who are you calling a weak sister in that league? I mean, Texas Tech has got, one conference win, and we saw them in Hawaii. They look terrific. And not just against Louisville, so before you get snarky. I mean, they look really good. I mean, West Virginia, I wouldn't want any part of them, certainly not at West Virginia. They're all really capable of going to the tournament and winning some games. Now, the other side is, you know, those who, what's the old saying, those that forget history are doomed to repeat it. I mean, we, excuse me, we had a number of years. That was good strategy by the inanimate objects. We had no problems
almost got
staying
you
on
there.
The table. What?
Said they almost got you there.
Yeah, because we were having no trouble in staying on the air, so they made me, in the middle of a sentence, have a coughing fit, so I had to reach over and cover my mouth and pull the mic away, and when I did, everything fell off the table. In fact, I might have cut us off the air still. It may be happening here, because I can't find the app now. Apparently, okay, we're good. Whew. Talk about dodging bullets. But remember those years in the, excuse me, trying again, good effort, boys, in the Big Ten, where we talked about, oh, this league is so good, and then I think they had like seven teams in a tournament, which back then was really a lot. And only one of them was even playing on the second weekend. And they didn't go any further than that. So maybe we'll be fooled by the Big 12, but I don't know. They look pretty darn good to me. So having said that, I mean, this ACC is clearly not at the level it was. And we talked about this, though, on yesterday's show with Coach Lieberman, that you know, perception sometimes becomes reality. And so when fans for years have talked about how good Duke and Carolina are and how the rivalry is so great, and this year, neither of them are great. They had a terrific first rivalry game a few days ago, but they're not great. So by definition, in the league, can't be great. So and maybe that's true. Certainly eyeballing it, they don't look like they're playing at the level the Big 12 is. They are. They're astoundingly good. And a lot of it done through the transfer portal. So whether you or me or anybody likes it, and I'm not saying I don't, but that's the way you're going to have to go. There is no substitute for having a guy who has played at the level that you're trying to fill and played well there. You know what he can do, and you have enough information now, having seen him, that you know whether he fits into your system or not. So, I mean, you don't get as many swings and misses, because it's an inexact science for anybody. You're taking a guy you've never seen play at this level, and you're trying to figure out how he fits in. And even if he has played at this level, he may not have played in a system like yours. It's a dicey proposition for anybody. And certainly when you're doing it with high school kids, but when you have transfers and you've seen a guy and maybe he plays in a system that was similar to yours, or maybe there's one specific skill set that this kid does and you go, wow, He's amazing. He's amazing in that capacity. He's a tireless offensive rebounder. He's just an absolute tenacious defender. He never takes a possession off, or, you know, he's just an absolute knockdown shooter. You got something that is that can fit the bill for you. So we'll see. Speaking of being recruited, by the way, again, always talking about. Well, before I do that, let me tell you about the rest of the show, because I need to know about one guest especially, who's laying out where today, because it's like Writer's Day here. I know Tim Sullivan's going to be on, and I think Jeff Greer's going to be on, and I know we were efforting at least a couple of other people, so give me the rundown on where we are. Not going to talk to me, are you?
No. Well, the updates, I'm looking at my phone right now. The updates are we have Tim Sullivan coming up at 12:45.
Okay.
Give his thoughts on the basketball game, and also quick deviation from hoops. He's been covering the Bob Baffert Churchill Downs thing, so I thought we could get a comment on that. The manager of the Bats, Pat Kelly, is going to join at 1. Quick update with the Bats in the preseason. Shout out Nick Curran for setting that up. Neil Knuckles Greenberg has been on paternity leave. With his second child for the past, I think, like two and a half months. He's supposed to come back for March Madness, but he did say that he might be able to squeeze in a Super Bowl visit, and so we're still waiting to hear from him. That'll be about 1:45, and then one of our other favorite scribes, Jeff Greer of the Floyd Street's Finest newsletter, is going to join at 2:15 to help you break down tonight's Pittsburgh matchup. So that's what we got on the docket. And then I was kind of feeling crazy last night, but I didn't post any. I'll post them during the show. I've got about 50 Bet Rivers Twitter polls I want to just throw out there, and that it is just an absolute stream of consciousness. So, we got all that.
All right, sounds like an action-packed show. We're going to get that all in by 3 o'clock. We're going to have to hurry.
Probably not. Let's be honest. We'll probably screw something up, or we'll go late, or you and Pat Kelly will start talking about, hilarious. didn't he tell the story of shooting the T-shirt cannon out of the building or something? Or maybe that was
Greg. He didn't do that. That was Galliette.
That was Galliette who fired the T-shirt cannon out of the stadium.
Yeah, when they moved to the Slugger Field, I mean, it was much smaller than it was. Cardinal Stadium was bigger just in terms of, you know, surface area, and they hadn't recalibrated the guns. And so they came out. Everybody's all excited. Yay, here comes the T-shirts. He just fired, I think, the first three right out in the street. People standing, yay. Oh.
I'm sorry. That's hilarious.
As it sailed over their heads. That is pretty entertaining. I got it. You know, I saw the powerful gun, though. At Oklahoma, when I did the Oklahoma-Alabama game, I said, you guys would have been digging this, because the kid was standing at midcourt, and he was shooting them to darn near the top rows of the upper deck. So I always feel bad for the people who look at the first shot out of the T-shirt gun and say, well, I'm out. I got no chance, because they're never going to get anywhere near here. This guy shot probably about four of them within the top four rows of the whole arena. Hit the banners that were hanging from the ceiling. I don't know, that made me a little nervous, because if they hit that thing, it's going to either be hanging, you know, like just limply from the ceiling, which looks terrible, or some poor SOB on the maintenance staff is going, oh, we got to get up there again. They're going to have to put that giant scaffold up and get the guy up
there.
Maybe
that's what the NCAA does to passive aggressively take down banners, like for schools they're mad at. Like, you know, they'll come in and try to, if we ever put the 2013 banner back up, they'll sneak like some sleeper cells in with a new high-powered T-shirt cannon and just focus all their fire on that.
Yeah, hell of a fundraiser. I mean, seriously, if you got, you know, hate to say it, but if you're not a Louisville fan and you want to just shoot that thing down, or better yet, even if you are a fan, you know, it'd kind of be, let's not kid ourselves, target games are fun. That's, you know, you may have the makings of a new video game there called Damn That Championship. You know, where you get to go into your rival's arena and just...
New from EA, and you just shoot T-shirt cannons at it.
Just firing T-shirt cannons. Well, there goes the second championship. That's off the boards. Who didn't we like over there? You know, I really never liked that guy as a player.
Screw you, although Kansas.
We'd build a T-shirt-proof wall around Mike Pratt's. Nobody's shooting that down.
It's that could be a great game. You have to avoid Bill Self's money guns. That he did during that one party, and then you're just the NCAA driving around with a little T-shirt cannon, trying to shoot down random banners.
You know, I really like Mike's banner, too, by the way. Did you see it? It's got his jersey number, which, you know, they don't retire the jersey number, though, right? I mean, especially when you've had so many good players, it just they honor you by putting your number in the rafters, but they don't retire it, I don't think. I'm almost sure of that in most places that do it that way anyway. But having said that, his has, you know, his name, of course, and it's his jersey, 22. And then at the bottom, it's got the years, and it shows the 3 years freshmen weren't eligible to play varsity back then. So it's got the 3 years he played. And then at the bottom, it's got the, I don't know how many years it was, 19, whatever it was, how many years. And then a small microphone next to that. I thought that was very cool that they put you know, they accounted for, because, again, not being immodest, because I'm not saying that's me, but the role of a radio guy in college communities is a pretty big deal. I mean, still, you know, the fans, I get you can kind of pick up the stuff anywhere now, but a lot of places are just basically picking up the local feed. So, you know, you're kind of a part of the fans' experience, and when you're as knowledgeable as he was, and as likable, it's a big deal. So I thought that was cool that they acknowledged how many years he was a broadcaster as well. All right,
I like that. And it was right next to Issel. That was pretty cool too.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
The buddies were back together.
It would be great if they should have get a little mechanical thing so that Issel can shoot at all the other jerseys, and they go, hey, they do it as a to promotion. Here it comes. It's time for the Issel missiles. And everybody's cheering. And, you know, he can sit somewhere, whether he's in Lexington or not. You can do everything now remotely. You know, the Chinese evidently were controlling that balloon from Beijing or somewhere. So Dan could be in Denver, in Colorado, and he could get his little machine out and, you know, just be, think this game I'm going to aim at Dampier.
That'd be awesome. And then, like, and that would be the excitement. And it's like like confetti and, you know, free free ice cream, like coupons.
Yeah, it'd be great that they, you know, they would, there'd be a big deal during the timeouts to see who's he going to shoot it at this week. I don't know. And they're cheering, and, you know, they show him on the Jumbotron, you know, remotely in his living room, and maybe he gives a reason why. Today, I'll be shooting at a guy who didn't give me the ball when I was wide open on the wing against LSU. I mean, I couldn't be more open. And yet, he decided he's going to shoot it and drove it down the lane, knocked everybody down, got a charge. So today, you're going down, Louis Dampier.
I was going to say, that was never cheers. Mike Pratt. Mike Pratt was a very unselfish teammate, yes.
Oh, Mike would just choke himself, but he said he hoisted him up. To
I forgot. I need to cut it into a promo, but Issel and Louis earlier this week, it was funny. Dan was saying, it's like, you know, I'm proud of a lot of, you know, my achievements there. And, you know, I'm number one in points. And then he kind of took a pause, and he was like, 370th in assists. it was
kind of funny. Yeah, Mike would tease Dan about that a lot. So, yeah, that was they had a great relationship. They really did. All right, so what am I doing now? Taking a break? Because we didn't get to the bottom of the hour break. So probably should do that, shouldn't we?
Yes, and Tim Sullivan is going to join us on the other side. Thank you, Luke.
All right, on deck, Tim Sullivan. We're here in Pittsburgh. So far, we have tamed the wild beasts. They'll have to go download the podcast to figure out what that means, but it's keeping us on the air. And we did get a little wiggly there for no reason. Did nothing, didn't touch anything, and all of a sudden, It's kind of like jabs, throwing jabs, just like keeping me a little bit off balance. Just that I just want you to know, you jackass, at any given moment, if I choose to take us off the air, we're going down, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. That's humbling.
Slip the jab. So, slip the jab.
Yep.
How many power punches landed? That's the important thing.
Well, they you heard the first part. I just dodged the bullet. I got a couple of glancing blows. They were throwing haymakers. But, you know, let's come back between rounds. I'm going to go over here, you know, rinse a little
Bob,
bit.
Say bye to Coop real fast.
Bye, Coop, real fast.
He
says
waved.
Bye. All right. All right. tell him to get
like, but that was funny.
Tell him to come back as we get to spring training and so we can sing Meet the Mets.
Yes. And play some, by the way, Edwin Diaz.
I just learned through looking at photographs, they were doing off-season transactions, and so they were. I mean, he was in the article, even though he was not an off-season transaction. But Max Scherzer has two different color eyes. Did you know that?
I did not.
He's got
usually
one
not looking
brown,
at his eyes. How you doing? Just looking at that.
One brown and one blue, and there's a term for that.
Yeah,
I used to call them. They used to call them when I was a kid mosaics. I hope that's not politically incorrect anymore because I don't think it was derogative. But there's a term for it. Yeah, I don't think you'll cancel me for that. Although I have to tell you the truth, I'm going to be candid here, and don't, you know, I think I'm out of the canceled zone, but running the risk, I'm going to tell it anyway. Your Uncle Todd, who now works for ABC News, he was an undergraduate at Hofstra when I was the assistant coach. I was just out of school. I was 23, maybe 24. I can't remember. I think I was 23. And he might have even been 22, come to think of it. So I was a young buck. And I was still very interested in broadcasting even then. I always wanted to get involved with the local. And we made friends. He was our play-by-play announcer for the local station. He's one of the funniest humans I've ever met. So we connected over a mutual admiration for Robert Klein. And so he was doing some stuff for the student station. And I still tease him about this to this day. And so he needed somebody to, you know, do the sportscast. It was sports news. It was like a very early sports center. I don't even know if it existed yet at that point. If it did, it was in its very formative stages, and it was one dedicated just to Hofstra sports, okay? So, now, they're playing, they have intercollegiate football. They've dropped it since, but they had it then. They had a number of guys who played in the NFL, so they had some good players. Then, of course, basketball was, everything was Division I. Lacrosse was great. Baseball was very good. So, we would do sports reports. And I didn't realize it at the time until I went back and listened to a couple of the shows, which he's archived everything. He has everything he's ever said in his life. Probably his first words out of, his first goo out of the womb has probably got a recording of it somewhere. So, Hofstra faces Villanova next, trying to get in win number 7 on the football season for Coach Mickey Kwiatkowski. And this is a team that they had great success with over the last 3 years. They've won all 3 games. They've scored 50 points. You know, John Jablonski, the all-conference tight end, looking for a big game, and blah, blah. Now, and then he'd say, and that's it. Then he'd go to me, and I would have to say, meanwhile, on campus intramurals, the last week, and I'm not making this up, because, you know, intramural teams always come up with goofy names. You know, so I used to tease them all the time. You're talking about All-Americans and Villanova and Hofstra, and I come on and say, the Nads had a big win last. Every intramural league has a team called the Nads, because they think it's clever. So right, you cheer me, say, go Nads. Well, this one is, I mean, I hope Shelby's not listening, because I'm reading the lists, and they're all like, I don't know. You know, Eddie's. I can't even find funny. Pick league teams from your own intramural experience. Trust me, they had names like this. You know, the Bombers. You know, had a big win. The Trailblazers had a blowout win over the Schnooks. And then of course the last game of the week was the big one, the battle for first place, and the came through with a.
Jeez.
Yes, that was their name, and I read it like a
serious?
Jackass. Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, it was a different time, I'm telling you. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not justifying it like somebody who, you know, you hear about, well, slave owners. Well, it was a different time. But, I mean, in the regard for this, it really was. I mean, you still hear it to this day. You know, in like that guy who's got the bit for the tiger that came in for a pint. Remember, and he calls for a what's the British version of Uber and Lyft? I don't remember what it's called.
I forgot.
Something car. And the guy shows up and he says, remember, he says something.
Like, are you mental?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, are you mental? That's it. Which is not, graciously, probably not as bad as, you know, the other one. But So Todd sent me that last night, and I said, oh, my God, I'd be canceled now. I mean, not realizing at the time how stupid it was. I mean, honestly, not that I'm trying to pass the buck, but I mean, if you tried to put a team named like that in intramural league now, somebody, I'm sure, from administration.
But that was their actual name. It wasn't like they were slipping in like, hey, let's get him to say brr, brr. Like, no.
No, that was the actual name of the team.
Actually, so on the schedule, it would be, you know,
yep.
Court 9, you know, Falcons versus, like, you know, the chocolate starfish, ha, 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 versus, you know, on Court 6, it'll be the Nads versus the mm-mm. Like,
yeah.
Really? That's...
That was it, right on the schedule, right there. And so Todd, you know, he's a hoarder. He really is. He needs help, but I love him to death. But so he's playing this on his, you know, he's still got the equipment to play a VHS tape, and so he's playing it. And he said, "You got to watch this till the end." And so he's playing it. When it gets to the part where I have to read that score, the modern day Todd, who's watching, you hear him just crack up. He's laughing so hard. And then they show my face, and I look over at him. I'm looking daggers at him. I mean, I'm just staring at him like, you know, because I didn't even read the script beforehand. You're just reading scores. So I was like, USOB, give me that. After you talk about, you know, matchups for the football team, go to these.
Gesundheit.
Okay. managed to stop it. So, yep. So please don't cancel me for that. I was young and stupid, and I wholeheartedly apologize, not realizing at the time how completely inappropriate it was. But, yeah. So there's that. All right, we'll come back. Tim Sullivan will join us. Thanks for staying, for being with us on this Tuesday. Cards and Panthers tonight, and we're here in Pittsburgh. We'll bring you all of the action. But straight ahead, we'll talk to Tim on ESPN 680 1057. Yes, that's his walk-up music, all right. Tim Sullivan joins us here on The V Show on this Tuesday. We are in Pittsburgh, and belated happy birthday to Tim, not for his birthday, but for the one and only Babe Ruth. I did not, for all the things I know about famous Yankees and things, I did not know that February 6th was the great Bambino's date of birth. So, and I understand, I know the answer to this, and anybody who's read your Twitter would know this. Got 100 and something likes, so the people enjoyed this. What else happened on that day, Tim? Won't you tell the listening audience?
Well, I was dating my current wife, only wife, and I told her that I was likely to propose on a major religious holiday, and she mistakenly thought I meant Christmas, but my mom knew that I probably meant Babe Ruth's birthday. So that happened 36 years ago. So,
well, congratulations
to
you.
Said yes.
Yeah, well, good for both of you. That's a great long run. So congratulations. And I'm, you know, we have a very good relationship with Genesis. I think this would be an added thing for that calendar. I think, you know, be a good time for other people to propose on famous athletes' birthdays. So pick one from each sport, and they should have a sale on that day. So like Babe Ruth, that's a good one. I don't know, we have to go by Michael Jordan, I guess, or you can have an argument there. That might be bad. You have people fighting over whether it should be Jordan or Wilt Chamberlain or LeBron James. So, but that's a nice idea. So, very nice. Did you do anything special since that's a couple of days ago? Did you have lunch in Acapulco or something? Or?
No, we went out to a nice lunch. We're trying to plan some vacations, but haven't finished it. But I will add a kicker to that story. A friend of mine went to the University of Michigan, heard that story, and his girlfriend immediately looked up when Jim Harbaugh's birthday was. So they are now married, but it was not based on Harbaugh's birthday.
Oh my! You're going to be a trendsetter. That's going to be a thing. They're going to talk about your bio on Wikipedia. Will, you know, think about that. Your grandchildren, some 70 years from now, when the whole country is celebrating various athletes' birthdays. The trend was arguably started by a sports writer in Louisville, Tim Sullivan, who, and they'll get the facts wrong like Wikipedia does, who said he told his wife, again, not your mother, that I intend to propose on Minnie Minoso's birthday. indeed. All right, fast forward here at least almost 100 years, I guess, or more than 100 years now. The situation, and I want to get to basketball and other things, but, you know, right now we're not that far out from the derbies. You always pass those signs now all over Louisville, how many days, weeks, whatever it is. And there's very few people who've had the kind of success that Bob Baffert's had in the Triple Crown and at the Derby. You basically endured sitting through 7 hours of Baffert and the Churchill Downs hearing. I'm not there, so if it's written about in the paper or even, you know, anywhere else, I didn't hear reports. So what's going on with that, and how does it look for this year's Derby, and what are you looking at down the road?
Well, we're waiting on the judge at this point to decide whether to issue a preliminary injunction that would enable Baffert to run. You know, he's still under a 2-year suspension from Churchill Downs that he's contested. I personally don't think he has a very strong case, but I'm not an attorney and I'm certainly not a judge. You know, he has, as he usually does, a barn full of very strong prospects. I think Caesars Sportsbook has his horses with 5 of the 10 shortest odds. They have, I think, 7 of the 10 fastest buyer speed ratings. And as far as the odds are concerned, that doesn't include any of the top 3 finishers in the Robert B. Lewis Stakes Saturday, which were all Baffert horses. So he's he has at least 10 or 12 contenders that that would have a very strong chance, but there's considerable doubt about whether he's going to be their trainer on the first Saturday in May.
Let's go through your words and amplify them a bit, or give them some, for the people who aren't familiar with, including me to some degree, what the, and understanding the disclaimer, you're not a lawyer, we get that, but this is what you wrote. At issue is whether Churchill has the authority to suspend Baffert, whether such a decision requires specific steps, whether those steps were followed, and whether the company that stages America's most famous horse race qualifies as a state actor and is therefore obliged to provide due process. Break that down a little for us. What's going on there?
Well, one of the arguments that Bob Baffert's attorney, Clark Brewster, made is that Churchill is not able to act completely independently, that a lot of their decisions and processes are governed by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission. Whether that qualifies them as a state actor and obliges them to a higher level of due process, you know, is at issue. I don't think precedent would tell you that that's going to fly, but you know, private companies generally have been able to act, if not with impunity, something close to it. You know, if they're, as long as they're not discriminating against an individual, they have a pretty wide latitude to enact their own rules. And you know, as a matter of record, Bob Baffert did sign a stall agreement that essentially gives Churchill the right to revoke his ability to stable horses at Churchill, you know, for any reason with no notice. So you know, that was among the exhibits that was presented at the hearing, and I don't know how Baffert finesses that.
Well, it sounds to me, as a layperson, it's a much more amplified version of "we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody you see in restaurants all the time." Isn't that kind of the variation on that same deal?
It seems like it. I mean, again, I don't want to get out of my depth here, but as long as Churchill is not, you know, singling him out because of his race or his religion or national origin, you know, I think they're on pretty solid ground. And you know, you probably would want to get an expert in that field to address that. But that's, you know, that's my takeaway based on, you know, all the attorneys that I've talked to over a period of, you know, more than a year now, as this case has wended its way through the various courts and administrative bodies. So, you know, to me, this is a real long shot. And I wouldn't be, I guess, shocked if he were to prevail, but I think the odds are stacked pretty formidably against him. And, you know, and basically he's lost at every turn along this route, and you know, has either the funds or the backing you know, to pursue this to the end. And I think it's been a mistake. I think it's backfired on him. It's hurt his reputation. But you know, as of this morning, he was still the second leading trainer in terms of earnings in the U.S. And you know, his U.S. earnings are less than he made in Saudi Arabia and Dubai last year in a very short span. So
he's not unlimited funds,
but he's pretty close.
Real quick, Tim Sullivan's with us. Two parting questions. One, what is the definition of a state actor? Is that a guy who, you know, works in those public service films for like the government? Probably not.
Well, I think a state actor is a body that is essentially has the authority of the state. And I think there was this came up in the NIRA hearing, because NIRA essentially is a state actor, although there's certainly some dispute about that, but it controls three of the primary tracks in New York State. And one of the points that the lawyers for Churchill Downs made was that Baffert is entitled to compete at Keeneland, at Ellis Park, at any other track in the state of Kentucky, except I guess now Turfway, because that is a Churchill Downs property. And therefore he had options, and he certainly has options nationwide. One of the claims that that came under some ridicule was Baffert saying that they're trying to put me out of business, et cetera. And clearly he's still one of the most successful trainers, even without Churchill Downs. But as he put it, he could have made a lot more money if that ban did not exist.
How about last thing? So I said two things. You answered one. Here's the other. I mean, obviously, Baffert himself is not going to be racing around the racetrack. Can't he sublease, for lack of a better word, his horses to other trainers? I'm sure they could work out something. Or, I mean, are these horses now, the horses themselves, perpetually banned? How does that work out?
Well, as we saw last year, he transferred two of his Derby prospects to Jimmy Octane, and I would expect that we would see a very similar thing. That the one difference this year is that Churchill has put in a rule where any horses that are being trained by a suspended trainer have to be transferred by February 28th. So time is fairly short here. And, I think that we will see a decision from the judge certainly before February 28th. And depending on how she rules, I guess assuming that that she rules against Baffert, I would think there are going to be some very significant horses changing stables by the end of the month.
All right. Again, we're top of the hour, so we got to get to a break. But let me ask you this real quick, shifting gears, because I wanted to get to it. Because I haven't seen very much. We have such an interest in Lamar Jackson. We actually became an affiliate for their games, as a lot of people listening probably know. We air all of the Ravens games here on our stations at ESPN Louisville, and you got from the NFL on ESPN that the Ravens and Lamar Jackson could be $100 million apart on guaranteed money. What your thoughts on that? Because you just said something about Baffert that, what's going on with him may be very much tarnishing his legacy. Lamar is still beloved here, but a lot of people are scratching their heads about what's going on with him. So could he be damaging his legacy? How do you think this plays out?
Well, I think that there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the Ravens to sign him. I think part of the problem in this negotiation is that the deal that the Browns made with Deshaun Watson has basically disrupted the pay scale and for elite quarterbacks. And if Lamar Jackson is using that as his model and expects to make as much guaranteed money, that could be a very difficult obstacle to clear. There's going to be tremendous demand for Lamar services on the free agent market if he gets there, and he knows that, and the Ravens know that. So I think that what's been reported here in the last day or two will set off some alarms, but I don't know that it necessarily means that that they're not going to be able to work out a deal. I think there's obviously a huge middle ground between what he's seeking, or what he's reportedly seeking, and what the Ravens appear to be offering. But there's a tremendous amount of money available in the NFL, and elite quarterbacks are hard to find. I think if I were to bet, I would think the Ravens would make a deal, but on what terms, I can only guess.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for the time, buddy. Good talking to you. We'll catch up again real soon, and best of luck going with wherever your freelance services are requested. Thanks, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Tim Sullivan with us here as we roll on from Pittsburgh. And before we get to our top of the hour break to delay it even further, let me tell you about our friends at Genesis Diamonds, because they have got a not only do they have a great deal, excuse me, but I have a copy for it to tell you about that, because Valentine's Day now, take a look at your calendar, folks. It's right around the proverbial corner. And you want to be a hero, not a chump, for your gift-giving selections for this holiday. And there's only one place to go, you can be sure of that, and that's Genesis Diamonds. Because they got a deal right now that's unbelievable. Buy any piece of jewelry there that's $99 or more. And they have fabulous selections in everything. Bracelets, rings, necklaces, earrings, you name it. Anyone that's $99 or more, and you'll get even more than just that fabulous piece of jewelry, you will get flowers from Nansen Craft Florists, beautiful bouquet of flowers, which in and of itself would make a terrific gift. You'll also get dinner at Brasserie Provence, which is a delightful place to eat, having dined there myself. And you'll get a box of chocolates. I mean, any one of those would be a great gift. And then you couple it with some state-of-the-art, gorgeous designer-made jewelry that is always, always a trademark of quality from Genesis, and you are going to have a very special holiday indeed. Yes, you heard all that right. Any piece of jewelry, $99 or more, you get the jewelry, the dinner, the flowers, and the box of candy, all from your friends at Genesis Diamonds to make you a hero for this Valentine's Day. Couldn't be simpler. I've taken advantage of this myself on many years past, and we're delighted that we can offer it to you guys again. We're actually, more appropriately, Genesis can offer it to you guys again, so you'll want to take advantage of it. To get more details, go check in at Genesis, which is in Shelbyville Road Plaza next to Trader Joe's. Tell them we sent you, and Wendy and the gang will take care of you, all at Genesis Diamonds. All right, late for a top of the hour break, but let's take it now on ESPN 680 1057.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.